There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hashtag Team Open!
This is Open Up, the podcast, the chat, the extra thought to accompany my first book, Open, a toolkit for how magic and messed up life can be.
Big and serious. People know that I'm big and serious.
We are going to be talking about love, sex, and all the many things surrounding both of those things, from the more emotional, like heartbreak, heartache, or falling in love for the first time, and how it manifests, how does it make us feel, and sex. It can be wonderful, it can also be confusing, and this more serious part of sex, consent, and sort of taking a safe approach when it comes to sex and how it's displayed to us in the world, which can sometimes lead to a discussion on rape culture.
They say that sex education in high school, you learn about like ovaries and how babies are born. I mean, that doesn't teach me anything I need to know.
And what the do's and don'ts are when you barely understand what the act itself is.
I don't need a boyfriend. I don't need boys. They make life even more complicated than it has to be.
So here we are in Blackburn, and I am with
Team Open.
Yes. Let's talk about love. Have any of you been in love?
Yes, I have.
Are you in love at the moment? That was a nod, an audible nod.
No.
Okay, so you've been in love, but you've been heartbroken too.
Because he wanted to end up like being back with me again, so it's like, well, it went wrong last time, but hopefully he's changed, and actually this time it was worse, and then there was a lot of name-calling and issues on that note, saying horrible things and making it out that everything was my fault. Even though it's like trying to pressure me into doing things I didn't want to.
Have you got any advice for anyone listening that is in that situation?
Just stay strong and respect that there must be something wrong to make them suddenly go from loving you and saying like you're their world, and then suddenly just being the worst thing that's ever happened to them. And it's just like, well, let's face it, there must be something wrong with them to make them say that and suddenly snap in such a way that they're lashing out at you. Just respect that, yeah, maybe they need some time, and just try and get yourself out of the situation because it's not your fault.
Do you think that adults take young relationships seriously?
Sometimes, because, like, some parents, like, once they've known that their child's in a relationship, they want to, like, help them develop of how my love needs to be.
So what's it like being in love? Is it the first time you've been in love?
It's actually all right being in love, because like you have somebody close to you that you know that will respect you and love you for who you are and the personality you are.
Have you got any advice to anyone listening that wants to know how to respect somebody? You know, I think sometimes like love can be really overwhelming, but it might end up not wanting to be with them, and then you might be mean. So, for example, you were talking about your ex-boyfriend is now being mean. He's flip-sided it, and he's no longer respecting you. How can we find that respect, even if we want to end a relationship?
If you want to end relationships, it's the way that you choose. So if you want to just do it straight off a text or go face-to-face with them, and if you want to give them respect, then you just tell them that you're nice and give them love and everything, pretty much.
So basically be gentle and be kind and be honest. How do you know when something's official? If you've met someone, they're your really good friend, when does it become official boyfriend and girlfriend?
When you eventually like go up to one man, you've been friends with him for ages, and then you eventually ask them, do you want to be a boyfriend or girlfriend?
Have any of your friends ever had a boyfriend or girlfriend that you're worried about?
Yeah, there was this one time when one of my friends, she had this boyfriend who was, I think she just couldn't realise that he was very abusive towards her verbally and probably physically. And I think she should have just ended it there. But I think sometimes you don't feel that need to. You need to encourage them and maybe just let them experience this so that next time they'll probably be better off. But there have been times when you sort of look at the relationship and go, it's not fair, it's not equal, they should be loving each other, and instead one of them is being very abusive towards the other.
What do you think those signs are when it suddenly becomes unhealthy?
I think it's when one partner takes more control than the other and tends to order them around and say, you need to do this to me, you need to do this for me. And I think when it gets to a point where the partner who's being abused probably starts to feel very bad about themselves, they tend to look at themselves and go that I'm not worthy of anything. They tend to stay reclusive, and I think when they tend to just give up on life because of what this other partner has said to them.
What advice have you got for anyone that feels like they can identify with that and they're not feeling very good about themselves and it might be coming from their partner?
I think they should tell someone that they can trust, and you know, try and voice their worry and their anxiety, and tell someone that look, this is what's happening to me, and I need to talk to you about this. And maybe if they feel confident enough, talk their partner about this and say that you're not treating me right, and maybe have a mediator in between and say have someone who can balance things out between them.
Heartbreak, any tips as to how to make it easier, because it hurts so much?
I think eat lots of ice cream, because usually that works, yeah.
Try and get them out of your head, because if you constantly have them in your head, then you're going to constantly remember that they were with you once, and then you're going to feel sad and emotional again.
Mm. Be creative. Perhaps draw or write it down, and perhaps write a story about it.
My name's Aisha, I'm in year 12.
My name's Hafsa, I'm in year 12.
My name's Afsan, I'm in year 10.
Loneliness. Is that something that you feel like you've experienced before?
Yes. I feel like you experience it more when you're in secondary school. In this kind of age, you're kind of meant to have like a boyfriend. A lot of people expect you to have one, and when you don't, people say, oh, you're lonely, you're never going to get one. And it's kind of like, I don't need a boyfriend, I don't need boys, they make life even more complicated than it has to be. And also
tell me about it.
I feel like if you have something that's there to kind of get you through that loneliness, like for me, it's music and reading books. It's kind of like an escape. And if you have that there, then I don't think you might think you're lonely, but you're really not, because there are people out there like you. You have your friends, you have your family, there are teachers at school, and you're not really lonely.
I think it's so brilliant that you're talking about the things that are really brilliant in loneliness, you know, using books, using music, the fact that you've gifted yourself these things in your life. I always sort of see it as gifts that you give to yourself, and you know that they're brilliant. It's like your toolkit, you know your tools. You love music, you love books, you can escape in them and they can make you feel like you are not alone. It's so nice, but I think there's going to be so many people listening who often feel lonely because it's a huge identifiable thing, who don't even know where to start when it comes to music or books. Have you got any recommendations?
Listen to the 1975.
Yeah.
They are amazing. And with books, I would say, no offence, but don't read like a rubbish romance novel. It will make things worse. Read something like Open. Or another book I could recommend based on mental health is It's Kind of a Funny Story by Ned Vizzini. I think they're making a movie on it. And honestly, it's funny. And something like by Ellen DeGeneres. She's
legend.
Hilarious. Read something by her, but listen to the 1975.
What about you in terms of loneliness? Is it something that you felt in your life ever?
I think because I'm so quick to cut people off and sort of end toxic relationships, things like that, I kind of found myself not being able to trust anyone. And people see it as a negative thing, but I don't, because I think I have myself. I don't really think I need anything else, because like I have had people I can talk to in the past, but I just feel as if it's not that big of a deal. For some people it might be, but for me, I think I am actually better off on my own. But, you know, with her, the same thing that you said, music is a great escape. If you find the right type of music, something that you can relate to, and you realise that, you know, people, celebrities with these glam lives still have the same problems that you do, it makes you feel so much better. So, yeah.
What are your tunes? Go on, tell me what your music is.
There's only one artist.
Go on.
Her name's Kehlani. I don't know if any of you know her, but she recently just released her first album. And I've been waiting for that moment because she had released mixtapes before, but that was all by herself. She has had a really tough life, and she's just so humble. The fact that she's come so far and she's still really humble just makes you, like, just in awe.
How often can you listen to the same song? How many times?
Her album just got released, and I'm nonstop forever. I will never get sick of it because I can relate to it. It's amazing. That's it.
So people always tell me I'm a really positive person. And sometimes people ask me, they go, how do you do it? You're always smiling. You're always so happy. And I think you actually have absolutely no idea at all. I think that around people, you do have to always be very positive, always put on a smile no matter what is going on. And sometimes it can be some of the gloomiest days of your life. And yes, I have had very, very bad lows where I have been feeling like absolutely no one is there for me. And I've had like horrible, horrible days. But I think the best way to get past it is to believe that there are better days. I think that's why I always tell myself that. I think I do have this positive attitude that people talk about. I am I'm generally this person who thinks it gets better. It always gets better. And I think that's what helps me through it. So yeah, don't let anything get to you.
I feel exactly the same. I get asked all the time how I'm so positive, and it's like, oh my goodness, if you ask my boyfriend, he would tell you the truth.
Yeah.
But it is important to sort of believe in positivity.
You are listening to the Open Up podcast.
Remember to rate and review us and to subscribe to Open Up. Share the love, tell your mates about it too.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, so you've downloaded the podcast. I'm very happy about that. It's nice to be in your ears. Cheers. But are you going to take on board Team Open? Are you going to feel free to open up and tell someone something that you've wanted to for ages? Are you ready to start talking? So I'm at UTC Media City in Salford with Tom, Joe and Alex in their radio studio, getting ready to open up. Sex. All right. Talking about where we put our genitals, if we choose to. Is it an embarrassing subject?
It depends.
Yeah. I think it I don't know whether it is... Like if you were just to talk about it to someone of your own gender, I don't know if it's as big as an issue. I think it's quite easy to talk about if a girl, woman to woman, about their sex lives, man to man, maybe about their sex lives as well.
And it's sort of the same age groups
but,
as well,
yeah,
isn't
it? But it's, I don't know whether it's... I know personally for like my group, we're like quite open about everything. We don't really care. So like we'll talk about it and then... as if it's just like a normal conversation, but then other friendship groups I'm aware that it's like it's not normal for like a guy to talk about his sex life to a woman or the other way around.
If I was going to tell someone, I'd have to really trust them, because we've only been college what, like 6 months?
Yeah, small enough.
So like I do consider people in this college to be close friends of mine, but I don't think I'd know them well enough to open up like that.
It's more how much trust you've got in someone and how much you know that they're going to listen and understand rather than what gender they are.
And also, everyone has a right to a private life as well. I feel that can really easily be forgotten in modern times where everybody's spilling the beans on everything and being really open online all the time about stuff, but maybe not always in a healthy way. And I think, you know, to respect private lives is also something that's quite interesting to consider as to what that means. If you are thinking about sex for the first time or doing sex for the first sort of few times, you know, just in terms of it's a newish thing in your life, and that can mean anything. I'm not just talking about the actual act of penetrative sex. I'm talking about just being aware that it happens, right? Then it's kind of important that you feel like you can talk about it if you need to, if you're confused about something or you want to be educated on something or that you're doing it or thinking about it in a healthy way. Does that make sense?
Yes. Like, because there's so much focus on, like, porn nowadays, so like I know when I first found out, I was like year seven, I was like completely naive as a kid, like I wasn't aware of any of it, so it was just like this brand new world has opened up to me and I had no idea what to do. And it's like you see that typical like thing boys do and you sort of just like copy some of the stuff you see in it and then you sort of like probably shouldn't have done that, but you don't know the difference, you don't have anything comparison, you don't, well at least in my school we didn't really have proper sex education either. Like their understanding was like, oh, teen pregnancies have gone down, we don't need it anymore. Really? And then they just moved on. And they didn't really give us anything.
So then where are you supposed to find out about sex?
Pornhub, apparently.
It's not extensive enough. I mean, they say that sex education in high school, you learn about, like, ovaries and how babies are born. I mean, that doesn't teach me anything I need to know about that. And it's more about, like, pregnancy and saying, please don't get a girl pregnant at 13, than this is, you know...
All the steps
you should...
before that need to be considered as well.
Because, I mean, I don't know how else to explain it, but it isn't extensive enough and it focuses on the wrong things. Definitely.
So it's fair to say that a lot of people, and not just boys, are looking to porn to get some sort of insight into what sex is like.
Yeah, most likely, because it's like there's nowhere else to turn to. And especially if you've been introduced to it at a young age and you're not even aware what it is, then... there's nothing, like you're not even aware there is something else to turn to at that age.
Mm. It's curiosity as well at that age as well. You're so young that whatever your mate Billy says, you just do it. Because that's what your mate Billy said, so you just do it. And that's just how it is when you're that young. And again, it just goes back to the maturity thing.
And there's nothing wrong with being intrigued about sex. It's like, it's why and how we're all here. You know? But it's really important to not feel bad about being interested in it or liking the idea of it or liking it, you know, like it's something that should be celebrated, but just you've got to consider as to how it makes you feel. And I think that sometimes a lot of the porn that's out there is representing a type of sex which isn't really realistic to kind of enjoyment or mutual happiness. And actually will lead me on something else that's discussed a lot is consent. And another element of sex and sex lives and kind of this rampancy of how porn is making a lot of us feel, that is really scary. Like, do you feel like you get any outlet to talk about what is yes and what is no and and the idea of consent. Is there anywhere that you can get information on that?
I've heard of stuff. I think there is things, but it's not really a widely advertised thing. I saw something like in a YouTube ad the other day that was like about like an anonymous service to like talk to people about something that you might have done, that you don't know whether it's something you've done wrong or something. But there's nothing that's widely like, you know, this is where you need to go if you've got a question. You know, can you do this? Should I do that? There's nothing like that, or it doesn't seem like there is.
It's very much like the older generation sort of look down on them, being like, oh, you should just know this off the get-go. Like, it's the logical thing, but for kids, especially like nowadays where the younger generations are doing more of the adult drinking and whatever else, it's a lot harder to keep track of stuff and understand what's actually happening and what the do's and don'ts are when you barely understand what the act itself is.
And again, I think that the conversation has swayed a lot towards women, in terms of a lot of women are talking about rape culture and how that scares them, and the different things that they feel like the opposite sex are doing that makes them feel uncomfortable. And it doesn't matter what you wear, how inebriated you are, if it's a no, then make sure you report that somebody might have done this. But also I think it's really important that men and boys are involved in the conversation as well, so that we can all mutually educate ourselves as to the boundaries. And I think it's really important that as the physically stronger sex as well, you know, quite in terms of biologically, usually the man is stronger, that conversation is just had really early on as well. What do you think?
Yeah. I think there's like a lot of focus on like the whole, on the terms of rape, it's always like this like teach boys not to rape, but it's like they're never taught to rape in the first place. So
exactly.
Like they're not really confronting the real issue of why it's becoming more and more common. It's sort of just like, oh, you're teaching them, you're bad parents, bad teachers. And it's sort of like, that's not the original source of it. And they sort of just fling it at you, sort of like a, this is the issue, go fix it, when it's not. And they sort of just not just evading focus from the guy's perspective of it, because they're so heavily focusing on like the girls and the victims, and the even when guys themselves can be victims. So
sometimes I feel like maybe the guys aren't aware, because rape can happen in many different ways, but when you think of rape, you think of a guy following a girl in the street and just like pinning her down. But like it can happen where like he might be tricking her, and she might not even be aware that she's being raped. Like she might just be being forced into it like mentally, but might not have an aware of it. And I feel like that's not how it's come across to kids. I feel like to kids it's just like, oh, it's one thing and that's how it happens, and otherwise it's all consentful, but it might not be.
For me, it's like no one gets told to rape, but no one gets told not to. Well, especially at that age, it's like you don't really know about rape until you know about sex in the first place, and there's quite a big gap there now. And the problem is that because there's a stigma around it, and that people don't want to talk to young children about such a horrible thing, and it is horrible, because people don't want to like open young children up to that, the problem is that if you go into life and you get into a situation where you are of legal age now, you don't know whether you're doing something wrong or not, because you haven't been told don't do this, and you haven't been told do that.
So it's a good thing that there's going to be sex and relationships being put onto the curriculum, because we've got to think about it from every perspective. The fact that yes, human beings like sex, but how they like it is really important. Thank you so much, you guys. I'm blown away, like you're all amazing. And just you're really good people. Never forget it. Cheers.
Louise O'Neill, writer, journalist, used to be a stylist. One of your books is being turned into a film. That is next level. Just a little bit about your books, because they are about, you know, pretty controversial in some ways, actually. Not that I believe that they should be controversial, but big subject matters in our world.
Yeah, I mean, Only Ever Yours, which was my first book, was a dystopian novel that was based in a world in which women are no longer able to have daughters. They can have sons, but their bodies have sort of evolved to reject a female fetus in the womb. So faced with the extinction of the human race, these schools are set up in which women are bred for their beauty and then trained to be subservient to men. It's amazing when you tell that plot, like every man within a 10-mile radius kind of backs away slowly. I'm still single. And then Asking For It is a book about rape culture and victim blaming, and it's about an 18-year-old girl who gets gang raped by members of her local football team. So yeah, they're pretty heavy. Whenever people meet me, I think they expect me to be way more serious than what I am. I'm very off-brand.
When you were researching and writing Asking For It, was there anything that just blew your brain to smithereens?
I suppose, like, I think anyone who's researching anything about rape culture and consent, it's always the statistics that are the most terrifying. You know, like, you know, the I suppose the rate of sexual violence is so high, and then the amount of people who ever, let's say, get their day in court, those statistics are minuscule. And then, you know, the rates of conviction for perpetrators is dismally low as well. And I suppose, you know, so that was pretty, that's always pretty shocking when you see those. And I suppose what I found interesting was because I spoke to a lot of survivors and, you know, having these conversations. And what really struck me was that most of them said it wasn't necessarily the event itself that was the most traumatizing. It was the reaction of people afterwards. So it was people making them feel like they had something to be ashamed about, asking, you know, are you sure, you know, how much did you have to drink, what were you wearing, so that the blame was constantly being put back on them. So they said that actually that shame that was put on them by friends and family and by their community, that was actually the most traumatizing part of it. So that I suppose I hadn't really considered that aspect, so that was really interesting.
In my book, I interviewed somebody who was a victim of sexual violence, and the reason why I did it was not just to be nosy, it's because I think it's an important subject matter to talk about in terms of all of us, whether you are a victim. I mean, again, like, the use of word victim is problematic, I think, but just that we should all just know about this because it's happening, and just and feel like we can talk about it. And that's why I interviewed her, and also I wanted to get actual tips in terms of if that ever did happen to me or anyone I know, like, how I could be careful and tender and kind towards them, you know, because I think it is happening more than we know, and I think it's really important that we know how to be good friends in times of need, you know.
What gave you the idea to have the title of your book called Open?
I really wanted the book to be called One Word. So even though there's a subtitle, just the idea that open is its own thing, it's kind of like naming a person, isn't it? Like, the first name is just like, and I wanted it to be two syllables, easy to remember. Because when I'm on the radio and I have to announce a band name, and if it's really hard and long to remember, I get really angry. So I realised that open was something that we could all remember. And then I thought about the context of why I was attracted to the word open. And I always think that I've got an open heart, an open mind. And it just got bigger and bigger, like a snowball, as to how important the word was. I wanted people to approach it with an openness and to feel like they could talk about things in an open way, hence the podcast being Open Up, so that we can all open up, and the fact that it's not just about me. So that's why it's called Open, because it ain't closed, and you open a book too.
You're listening to the Open Up podcast.
I got it.
You are listening to the Open Up.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Podcast. Okay.
Yeah.